Welcome back to the Coffee Hour with Andy.
And Sarah.
It is Monday morning, January 22nd. Did you have a nice weekend?
I did.
Excellent.
It was warm outside.
It was beautiful. Got out and enjoyed the nice weather. Yeah. I bet you were out for a bike ride.
I was. It was lovely.
It was beautiful. My trail shoes got a little muddy this weekend.
Oh, yeah,
as
I can imagine.
Got out and enjoyed the trails. Speaking of shoes and moving about, there were lots of people moving about at the March for Life. We had a chance to check in with a few folks at the March for Life on Friday, and we have one more person to check in with, one of my favorite people when it comes to this particular issue, Dr. Donna Harrison. She's Executive Director for the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, also known as APLOG. Dr. Harrison, welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Hey, thanks for asking me, Andy.
A pleasure. Always a joy to talk with you and to get your perspective on, particularly on the issues that are pertinent to this topic of life. What was the outlook at the March for Life this year in Washington, D.C.?
Well, it was wonderful. I've been to the march every year for a decade, and this march was surrounded with joy and just a focus forward in that the theme was love and life. And so it was youthful, it was excited, and we're sensing a real change, a sea change in the way people are looking at the life issues. And we were honored, really, to have an address by, this is the first time the president has ever addressed the march. And so with that kind of support, it was just a really enthusiastic time.
What were some of the conversations you were able to have with the people you were marching with?
Well, it was amazing because for the first time, my group, the American Association of Pro-Life OB-GYNs, had doctors marching behind a banner. Mm-hmm. So we were particularly excited to be there and to march together as physicians. I know the Catholic Medical Association had a presence there as well. So it's exciting for me to see my medical professional colleagues start to wake up to this issue and how significant the threat to conscience is right now. So we were glad to be there together.
You mentioned that there were the Catholic Medical Association there as well and physicians there. The people from, there were marchers from all walks of life, all confessions of faith there. What is it like to be a part of an event where there are people coming from so many backgrounds, but yet there for this one particular issue, standing for life?
Well, I have to tell you, I was crying during the march because I was standing in front of or marching in front of a group of young Hispanic people who were singing. They were singing songs about life, and I know just enough Spanish to follow the words, and it was so moving. And then I attended a dinner where one of the people I just happened to say hello to was a delegation from Germany who were involved in the abortion pill reversal and bringing abortion pill reversal to Germany. So there were all of these, I don't know what you call them, coincidental, like God moments is what my kids call them. There were all of these God moments where I'm, you know, there was conversations with people that are really active in their sphere of life all over the world. I even took a picture of a sign from Lithuania. So it was really encouraging to know that God's people are working all over the world to end this terrible scourge of death.
Absolutely. And watching the coverage on Facebook Live, there's always a lot of different signs, and they say a lot of different things. And you mentioned taking a picture of a sign. What were some of the signs that stuck out in your mind or ones that really resonated with you?
Well, mostly the ones that are, we are the pro-life generation, which, you know, of course you've seen, but I see it marching. You know, the pro-life generation is marching and they're present. And other signs, well, I guess the ones that talk about, you know, embracing people who are facing abortion and giving them real choice and a real alternative, which is you can choose life and we'll help you. We'll embrace you as a community. And again, generally Christian, but there were also Jewish people there. There are people of other faiths. But we'll embrace people with a pregnancy that they consider a crisis, because killing people is never the solution to social problems. We have other ways to do that. And Christ says, we love and we serve and we help.
I was doing my homework recently, reading up a little bit more on the history of APLOC too. I've known you for a couple of years now and always, think very highly of your organization, but I thought, I've never really looked at the history of the organization. And now looking back to how the organization began and thinking about, you mentioned, physicians being there, your fellow physicians being there, marching with you at the March for Life. What a long way we've come. That APLOG has come as well to stand for these issues. What are the current issues that you're addressing in your work with APLOG today?
Well, the biggest threat that we have right now is there's a concerted effort to eliminate doctors that practice Hippocratic medicine from the practice of medicine. And I know that sounds surprising, but the Hippocratic Oath is the vow that a doctor makes to never hurt a patient. And in that vow is a specific vow never to do abortion and never to do physician-assisted suicide, neither one. So the Hippocratic Oath is something that actually has been suppressed and sort of squelched and in some cases eliminated from the medical profession since the 1980s because of this push for abortion and now the push for physician-assisted suicide. So APLOG is working with a bunch of other medical organizations to try to offer opportunities for their doctors to retake the Hippocratic Oath in a public way and to educate doctors about what's going on. I mean, right now, there's a bill in Illinois. Well, there's a law in Illinois that we have helped to stop or at least send to the Supreme Court. And that law would have required every healthcare entity to perform a refer for every legal action. And if you didn't, then you could lose your license. And this, it's not just Illinois. There's similar kinds of compelled speech laws and compelled action laws in California and Hawaii. And in fact, one of them has reached the Supreme Court. And APLOG is working with other medical professions to say, hey, look, we are not a utility company. We don't dispense medicine like electricity. What we do is we are healthcare professionals who act on behalf of their patients. And not on behalf of society or the state. We are not agents of the state. But I'll tell you, that is the biggest threat right now to Hippocratic practitioners all around the country. And I would ask anyone who's listening right now, what you can do is when you go to your next doctor's appointment, ask your doctor two questions. Say, doc, while he's listening or she is listening to your heart and lungs, doc, have you taken the Hippocratic Oath? And if they mumble something, say, hey, do you have a copy of the oath that you took in the office? I'd like to read it. And if one patient does that, the doctor will kind of write it off. If five patients do it, they'll get a copy of the oath, and you better believe they will have taken that. Because when the doctors see that the patients are checking to see if their doctor is one who's going to kill them or not, the doctor will take notice. So I would just ask everybody to ask your doctor, and then, anything that you can do to promote the Hippocratic Oath or conscience. One of the things that we're asking people to do is sponsor a dinner where we invite doctors to retake the oath publicly. So Catholic medical associations have done this at graduation ceremonies for a decade or more, but we need it among docs that are not graduating. We need it among established docs. So if anybody's interested in that, they should email me at communications@aplog.org, and we'll see what happens from there. But thanks for asking. That's our biggest project right now.
Those are some really great things for people to do when we all go to our doctors. Do you see the medical profession moving in a more pro-life direction? Is there any momentum that's being gained?
Well, what I can tell you is that APLOG is growing in numbers, as is the American College of Pediatricians, not the American Academy of Pediatrics, but the American College of Pediatricians, and the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, and Catholic Medical Association, and Christian Medical Dental Association. We are growing in numbers. But there is a lot of money and a lot of pressure to try to eliminate us from the medical profession or to get us to compromise on the life issues. And it's a struggle that we will not lose.
How can we learn more about ECLOG and the what your organization is doing and the events that are coming up? I know you have an annual conference each year as well, right?
Only this year, it's going to, the annual conference for 2018 is going to be in 2019, and we're still deciding the location because we're switching back. We had our last conference in 2017 in the fall. We're switching to the spring, and that we didn't have enough time to do it for 2018. So in 2019, we'll have another conference, which is a great conference if you want to learn about high-level activity in the pro-life movement. Mm-hmm. You can also go to our website, which is AAP as in pro-life, L-O-G as in G-Y-N, so AAPLOG.org, that's our website. And you can also email us at communications@aplog.org, and we'll get back to you.
Thanks, Dr. Harrison. The March for Life overall, now that you're done with the march and the events surrounding the march, looking back on it, final thoughts on that?
Well, the best moment of the whole march was I had the opportunity to attend the Rose Dinner. And at the end of the Rose Dinner, Jeannie Mancini said, "I would like to invite Pastor Esgott of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to close us in prayer." And Pastor Esgott gave just the best ever heard, and I was so proud to be a Lutheran. It was just wonderful. So we should definitely continue to hold Pastor Esgott in the pro-life movement.
Well, it sounds like the events surrounding the march and the March for Life were certainly a moving experience this year for you and those who were there. And thanks for being out there and being a voice for life for those who don't necessarily always have a voice. Thanks so much.
Well, you're welcome. Praise God.
Dr. Harrison, thanks for being in the Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Me too. Thank you.
That does it for the Monday issue of the Coffee Hour.
Absolutely.
We have more fun stuff lined up for this week.
Me too.
A coffee roaster and purveyor who happens to be a pastor.
I'm pretty excited about that.
Stay tuned for Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.